We all recognize that the religious leaders were always having a pop at Jesus. They always wanted to try and get him into trouble for something. And today we see they're accusing him of breaking the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath, in this country, what's it all about, really? These days, it's the one day of the year, of the week, when you are only supposed to work a few hours. The day used to be, it was a day when no one worked at all. But when this was written to the original hearers, it was a day in which they weren't supposed to work at all, and it was a day in which their writings, their spiritual writings, had grown to make the prohibition of activity on the Sabbath, which to them was Saturday, these writings had grown out of all proportion. So, this was called the Mishnah. The Mishnah. These were the writings of rabbis who had long since died, but had left their writings, and the people of Israel treated them the same as they did the scriptures. So Moses, the writings of Moses in the Torah, were very important to them, but the writings of the rabbis in the Mishnah was just as important to them. So Jesus comes into a situation where he is touching people, healing them on the Sabbath. For example, in Mark 12, it says, who among you, if he has a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't lift it out? Jesus is speaking common sense. And there is no law that says you have to let your sheep die because it's fallen in the pit on a Sunday. Even then they didn't do that. But when he said to this man, stretch out your hand, and without touching him it was healed, they accused him of breaking the Sabbath, and they plotted against him, it says, how they might destroy him. Very, very extreme reaction over what is a very debatable breach of Sabbath law. So the Pharisees, who were the people behind this, they counted these oral traditions of the old rabbis on a par with the Word of God. The Mishnah was very important to them. Jesus was breaking the Sabbath laws according to the Mishnah. Jesus was not breaking the Sabbath laws according to the Torah, the books of Moses, which we have incorporated into our Bible. Jesus says these words in Mark chapter 2. He says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, you were not made to keep these laws. These laws were made to keep you. And the idea of Sabbath is first represented in the books of Moses, and those books are originally read aloud to what group of people? The Jews? Which Jews? Where have these Jews just come from? Sorry? Right, these are people who have just escaped Egypt when Moses writes these things down and reads them out. These are people who have been in Egypt for 430 years. These are people who live like Egyptians, and except for the fact they have lived as slaves to the Egyptians. And when you're a slave, they drive you till you drop. And when you die there, they won't allow anybody to pick you up and give you a decent burial. They leave you there until the end of shift, and then people can come and get you. This is an inhuman state, a state into which God says, you've got to give everybody a day off. every week, everyone's got to have a day off. When you understand the Sabbath is taught originally to a nation who had just escaped slavery, it really makes even more sense. My second point today is Father and Son. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, "So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. By the seventh day, God completed his work as he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on that day he rested from his work of creation." Again, remember, this is Genesis. It is initially read out to those ex-slaves. What God is trying to get them to do is to say, look, guys, I even had a day off after I created everything. So two Egyptian slaves who have been driven until they've dropped, God wants them to understand something. Everyone's entitled to a day off. The Father paused from his work, so should we. But in John chapter 5:17, Jesus says, "My Father is still working, and I am working also." The inference that they took from this was that Jesus was calling God his Father, which is exactly what he was doing. But perhaps we should also take from it that Jesus was saying he was doing the Father's work, which is always good and cannot possibly be in breach of his own commandments. If God has said, keep the Sabbath day holy, he is not himself going to breach that law. And Jesus wasn't breaching that law. And the law of Moses recognized he wasn't breaching that law. It was just the cackling hearsay of the rabbis that said that. My third point today is commandment number 5. Anybody get that picture? Yeah, that's right. It's a pop music thing. Number 5. They have thrown number 4 at him. The Pharisees have said, commandment number 4, you're breaking it. But what Jesus does is he turns the conversation around. He says, commandment number 5, you're breaking it. Because commandment number 5 is love your father and mother and honour them that you might live long. And Jesus honoured his father, but they were dishonouring his father. And Jesus was turning it back on them and saying, you're accusing me of sin, but I accuse you of sin. And the comment that Jesus was making to them was that you are breaking a commandment against God himself. If you are saying God is your father, which is what they were doing, they were also demeaning God by demeaning the Father's Son. Breaking the fifth commandment very specifically in the law of Moses required the death penalty. Remember, we're talking about a group of people who were wandering around in the desert and didn't have prisons. Prison culture was not a possibility in those days. The issue really was, did a law command a demand death? And if they thought it did, then you were killed for it. And dishonouring your parents was one of those laws. So, just a little mention now to all those who've got parents. Be good. We have to recognise that this is a religious people who are raising accusations against Jesus, but they are digging a pit for themselves to fall into, because they are demeaning God and they are demeaning the Father, and they're demeaning the Father of the Son, the Messiah, Jesus is the one who is being demeaned here as well. What Jesus is trying to teach them in this chapter is, it would be better if you sought the Father's mercy through the Son. And that, of course, is the message that still comes down to us today. Thank God that we don't kill people for dishonouring their father and mother. Although dishonouring their father and mother was a little bit different to what we might think it would be. You know, if you're as a son, if you refuse to work for your father and mother, if you refuse to help them in the fields, you might be committing them to death by starvation. You know, it's a little bit different to what it sounds like in our head. But instead of believing the words of the Mishnah, they would have been better believing the words of the Torah. They would have been better listening to Moses, because Moses was teaching them the right attitude to have. And it's so important that we understand the Ten Commandments are not 10 don't do these things. It's a matter of 10 boundaries that God has set for our lives, which if we follow where these boundaries are, we won't go into a field and be charged by a bull. We will live better, healthier, more prosperous, more happy lives if we avoid these boundaries. Why does Jesus mention Moses? Because Moses says these words in Deuteronomy 18:15, "The Lord your God will raise you up, will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him." And that was the word of Moses that these Pharisees were ignoring. They were saying Jesus is not that person, therefore we don't have to listen to him. But the voice of Moses through the centuries is coming down to them, condemning them, saying, this is the prophet that God has sent to you. Listen to him. And we need to all understand that listening to the prophet, listening to Jesus, is what we are called to do. So, what's this all about today? Well, this is not just about Jesus being clever, because he was very wise and he did know how to answer these people. But this is about us learning that accusing somebody of something, we have to be sure of our ground, and we also need to recognise that the danger is that we dig a hole for ourselves that we fall into. It's important that we know that. It's also important that we know that honouring our Father and honouring his Son, Jesus, is the fundamentals of the Bible. Going back to Genesis, in the beginning God created. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing that was created without him. The dots are joined together. Father and Son have worked together. All that we have and know is because of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, because the Genesis says in Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit of God hovered. The Spirit hovers over the creation, hovers over the work of God. That's why the Spirit is so active in the church. The Spirit of God hovers over the church, trying to remind us of the truth of Jesus. Commandment number 4, commandment number 5. These are all boundaries set for us that save us from embarrassment, from getting ourselves into trouble, from bringing shame on ourselves and on our society and on our families, from saving our communities from loss. We need to remember these things, And whether you know Mambo number 5 or whether you just know commandment number 4, what really matters today is that we know Jesus and that we respect him and that we respect the Father too. Some people say, what about commandment number 3? You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. And people say, oh, that's just when people blaspheme. They just say the name of God. And, you know, I know that that is unpleasant. And as a Christian, I find it unpleasant when people do that around me because they're talking about my Father. Anybody would be offended if someone said something awful about their parent. But what's really important is that we should recognize that talking about God just without respect is what it is to break that commandment. And when the Pharisees were speaking against the Father and the Son on that day, they were also breaking commandment number 3. So let's remember, our heart should be full of respect for God. Our heart should be full of respect for our parents. Our hearts should be full of respect for each other. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. He also said, love your neighbor as yourself. We need to have respect for each other. We need to love people, whatever choices they're making in life. You know, sometimes someone next door to you chooses to make a 7-foot fence, which offends you. And, you know, you can spend years falling out with them, or you can decide to forgive. And if that is anybody in the room, I'm very sorry. I didn't know that. But you know what I'm saying here? This is about us learning respect. It's about us learning forgiveness. It's about learning the things that God is very free with. God is very free with his forgiveness. And we need to all remember that. The grace of God is that he forgives us. Will you pray with me? Father, today we reach out to you because you are God and you are good. Lord, we recognize you have set boundaries that you expect us to maintain. But Father, we pray that you would help us to see them as the good things they are and not see them as restrictions, which they are not. Help us to recognize the good boundaries that you give for your people, and help us also to recognize the vital relationship we should have with the Father and the vital relationship we should have with the Son, and help us always to respect you and to honor you. To honour your commandments, to honour what you say. And Lord, help us to recognise that because we have been made with free will, we have the option of choosing to follow you. And Lord, even though it means we have the option of choosing to not follow you, it doesn't mean that we should willingly do that. Help us, Father, to make wise choices, good decisions, and to follow the Father in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.